Well, joining me now here in the Allstate Showcase studio is Rob Carr. He's the president and CEO of the Illinois Retail Merchants Association. Rob, thank you so much for joining me.
Good morning, Rick. Good to be with you in studio.
Yes, and now you get to see the lavish digs here of the Allstate Showcase studio.
World headquarters, very impressive. I like the view.
Very nice, and yes, it's a great view out on Michigan Avenue. Yeah. And, of course, next week we'll have all of the marathoners going by, and Bob will be keeping count of who's ahead as they get past this check mark. And you're lucky that you came in this week, because when they put up all of the barriers,
couldn't get here.
You're not going to be able to get here. Trust me. Well, I wanted to have you on because I know you've been speaking out about this idea of trying to unite small business people here in the city of Chicago to really kind of take a look at the things that they're facing when it comes to new ordinances, new taxes, and new regulations. And I guess my question is, how come these people didn't get organized before?
Well, I think, you know, when you look at small businesses, small employers, they're entrepreneurial, right? They're focused on their business. They're starting up. They have a lot of capital at risk. They're very focused on what they're
doing. It's not about being joiners.
It's not about being joiners. And it's a little different, frankly, and you and I are old enough now to talk about our generations, right? So it's different from our parents' generation, or our even our generation to a certain extent. They were more joiners. They joined whatever was the JCs, like my parents were involved, or the Rotary or things like that. Even those organizations are struggling to get the new generation involved. They're very focused on what they're doing, and when they're not, they want to be focused on their family or their particular interests. And government doesn't always come naturally to people. I was reading an article about someone who represents tech companies nationwide and talked about the fact that they just don't get it, and it's hard for them to understand it. They're used to solving problems.
They're playing defense.
They're playing defense, and getting them to understand that government impacts the way you do business, and government can shut you down. I'll never forget Walmart. I know Walmart's not a small business, although they started out that way. But back in the early 2000s, Walmart never had a government affairs operation, ever. Then California did their big box law, and it suddenly woke them up to the fact that government can not only impact the way you do business, government can shut you down. And the same is true for small business. And I think you just have to translate that to them, educate them on that, and then give them an easy means of making their voice heard. And that's what we're hoping to do.
Part of it is it also too part of this kind of transitionary period that we're in, where between brick and mortar and internet as well, because given that you have a lot of, as you mentioned, tech, you have all of these kind of startups,
yep,
but they're also part of the retail cog of the machine as well.
Oh, they most certainly are, and we take them all into consideration. But when you're a brick and mortar, that presents another challenge, correct? Because
yes, indeed.
And I don't want to get ahead, but the mandates that come from government most often apply to brick and mortar because they can't apply to the internet sellers. So that presents another rub and another challenge for brick and mortar. And so we're just trying to get them involved and get them focused on expressing to policymakers exactly how all of these proposals impact them.
Well, let's take a look at some of the things.
Sure.
And frankly, off the air, I've said to Rob, I said this kind of dovetails to a bit of our discussion a couple of weeks ago with Sam Toya from the Illinois Restaurant Association about what small business owners and entrepreneurs, restaurant owners, entrepreneurs as well, what they face when it comes to doing business in the city of Chicago. And these hurdles, I mean, it's kind of a compilation of things. You've got minimum wage, property taxes, water sewer fees. Mm-hmm. I know you guys were very concerned about the plastic bags. There's still talk about things like soda tax,
right?
These things just keep piling up.
They do, and as you and I were just briefly discussing off air, policymakers tend to look at these things in silos. And what we've been trying to educate not only policymakers but opinion makers on is businesses don't look at these things in silos. They don't say, oh, okay, plastic bags, I can absorb that. PTO, oh, okay, paid time off, sorry, I can absorb that. Minimum wage, oh, okay, I can absorb that because it only adds X cost, each of those. Employers look at it and say, wait a minute, I've got one pocket. It's coming out of, all those expenses are coming out of one pocket. I look at it in the aggregate. And so we're trying to get policymakers and opinion makers to understand that's the cumulative impact matters. And the cumulative impact not only of what the city does, but what the county does, particularly Cook County, and frankly, what the state does. it impacts all business the same way. They don't look at it separately, and that's important.
And when you look at the city and you see it almost becoming this island in its taxation, you wonder, why would you want to start a business in the city? Obviously, you've got population, but your margins, especially starting out, you know, your margins aren't going to be great.
It is a mantra we hear all the time. They have limited, you know, it's another thing. For employers have limited amounts of capital to invest, either initially or every year, whether you're a small operation or a large operation. You have a limited amount of capital to invest. You're going to invest that where you can get your best return on investment. Might you open a store or two in Cook County or the city? Yeah, you might. But you're probably going to, instead of opening 10, you're going to open 2. Right? They make that decision because they can put the other 8 somewhere where the return on investment is much greater. And unfortunately, for all of the factors that are impacting employers in the city, the county, and the state, those decisions are being made exactly along that lines, opening 1 instead of 10.
So with the small businesses, and you mentioned that, you know, these are newer entrepreneurs and they're not necessarily the joiners, but are they too the ones that are looking at things in this kind of siloed way rather than in the comprehensive way?
I don't think it's fair to say they're looking at it as silo. I think, again, they have a lot on the line, right? Most entrepreneurs have put everything they own, everything they have.
And are leveraged
to the hilt. Many times they're putting it on their own credit cards because, for better or worse, federal banking reforms have made access to capital harder for smaller entrepreneurs. So they're leveraged. They're very focused on survival, and they need to get through that first 3 to 5 years to become viable. So it's hard. It's impossible to be critical, frankly, of them. I think we just have to help them understand, as we started out, just the impact government have and how it can eat away at their ability to make it to that key 3 to 5 years.
We're speaking with Rob Carr. He's the president and CEO of the Illinois Retail Merchants Association. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Showcase studio with Rob Carr, the president and CEO of the Illinois Retail Merchants Association. We're talking about the formation of this Neighborhood Small Business Committee. And I guess really my next question is, once you've got a committee, what are you going to do with it?
Sure, that's a great question. So Illinois Retail Merchants and Chicagoland Chamber of Commerce teamed up, as we do on other things, and created this small business committee. It'll have 12 individuals on it. We will interview them. We will interview others. We will have, we're still working with the chairman, but I'm sure we'll have meetings in different parts of the city and the county with various employers and get their impact, kind of pick their brains on the challenges they're facing. I'm sure early on it'll be heavy in kind of the licensing, permitting, regulatory
the red tape.
I mean, we've already heard some real interesting stories. You know, you have a restaurant chain, frankly, has 3 locations. They're not inexperienced. Took them 2 years to open their new restaurant. No good reason.
But they're a chain. They know how to do it.
They know how to do it. So what does someone who's just starting out do, right? It probably takes them longer. One of the co-chairmen, Neil Byers, who owns a microbrewery, put a modest expansion in. It was signed off by city inspectors. And less than a year later, another city and plumbing inspector came in, made him put in several $1,000s of additional changes. Nothing had changed. It's just a difference of opinion. There shouldn't be that inconsistency, right? We get it if there's a regulatory change, but if there's no regulatory change and city inspectors just signed off on the plan, why is he having to go back and do this again? It was completely subjective. And I think we'll have to look at rulemaking. As you know from your days in Springfield has a good rulemaking process when it comes to bureaucracies, right? There's an accountability measure to it. Now, there's some challenges here in the city. And I'm talking about the joint committee process in Springfield. There's some challenges here in the city because you don't have, quote unquote, the loyal opposition.
Correct.
Right? But certainly there needs to be a system where you have transparency, where people have some notice that rules are coming up and have some opinion, some chance to opine on them and require some feedback from the bureaucracy to either defend that or to rethink what they're proposing. That doesn't exist in the city today. A department can put out a reg, and the next day it can happen.
Well, and or somebody then tries to go to Springfield to prohibit the city's ability to enforce that kind of a rule.
Absolutely,
I mean, which is kind of a backward way of doing things,
right,
as well.
It's another fist fight, right?
Don't we have plenty of those?
We have plenty of those.
Speaking of fist fights, let's talk about Springfield.
Okay.
Well, I mean, when we when we've had people from the business community on, and I know this I may sound like a broken record, but it's the idea everybody wants to, they may not agree with certain laws, with regulations, with whatever, but everybody agrees certainty is kind of that basic bedrock that businesses want. And when you look at everything that's gone involving Springfield in the last 2 years, certainty is the last thing anybody can say that we have in this state. And now we have the election going forward, and maybe some seats will change. I don't know that a great number will, but who knows? We'll see, because there's an awful lot of money being poured into these legislative contests, more than I ever imagined that I would ever see in my lifetime. Mm-hmm. That having been said, I don't know at the end of the day, on November 9th, that the climate is necessarily going to change that's going to resolve anything in Springfield.
The only thing that is certain right now is uncertainty when it comes to Springfield. And it does erode confidence, again, when you're looking at investing in Illinois. Not only has a great many things going for it, our location is tremendous. Our transportation system is very good. So we have a generally educated workforce. We have excellent higher institutions, learning institutions. So we have a lot going for us. But that uncertainty does plague us.
Well, but for all those great things, yep, though, all of those things seem to have eroded in the last 2 years.
They are certainly eroding. You're absolutely right. I mean,
our infrastructure, our higher education, right. We've talked about the uncertainty in that and the number of kids that
are making choices to go elsewhere. Absolutely.
And they're not going to come back necessarily.
And frankly, you know, higher ed education institutions are having a harder time attracting talent to be professors because they're looking at and wondering about the certainty. So there's all of that. We do need to correct that. I don't think everybody is wrong and everybody is right in this argument is
correct.
The problem, right? There's just, I think, a lack of trust.
But that's the politics,
right,
and that we live in today. And it's that Washington style of politics that I always hated and said, well, I'm going back to Springfield, where there was still a modicum of statesmanship that used to exist. And now we're just seeing that politics is the same Washington style. It's the winner take all. And one side is right, the other side is wrong. And there's no gradation.
No in between.
And we all know life isn't that simple. And it was never that simple in Springfield.
It was never that simple. And the middle that we used to so rely upon in Springfield in my early days, I've been in it 24 years. I think you're just a little longer, Rick, but maybe not.
Boy, he keeps going after the age thing. He's as bad as Schwanee, you know?
but that middle has eroded. But I do, you know, we talk to rank and file legislators a lot. There is a desire by everyone that I've met to have some middle ground. I think the question is how to get there. And again, the trust factor is missing. And as you know, in all of this, trust is very important.
Sure, it's the biggest currency. Your word is your bond. And that you know, whether you disagree with somebody or not, it's a heck of a lot easier to know that a no is a no or a yes is a yes or I'll take a look at it as, you know, a consideration.
From a group that represents employers, and we're only one. I mean, you have others like the Manufacturers Association, the Chicagoland Chamber, but I think we've all talked and we're all kind of in the same boat in terms of representing our members. No one likes taxes, higher taxes, no one. I think everyone recognizes that they're inevitable given the situation of the state and the city, because let's not forget the city in this discussion.
Correct.
Right? And to an even lesser extent, the county. And those need to be addressed, but you can't have it all. That's where I think from an employer's perspective, the policymakers need to rethink a little bit here. If you want to solve all those problems, and we think you need to solve those problems and return stability and certainty, then you can't be piling on other things, whether that other thing is jacking the minimum wage up to $13 or $15 or paid time off or regulating scheduling or substantial environmental regulations. You can't do all of those and expect employers, because let's face it, policymakers always look to employers to carry the lion's share of whatever it is. Right. And we also have to take a long view. You can't just hold that off for a year or two. It took a couple decades to get in this mess. It's probably going to take a couple decades to get out of this mess. And we have to have some restraint.
At least a couple of decades.
But
it's a two-way street.
It is a two-way street.
And you know, you can't just do taxes. But it's got to be part of a comprehensive package. But you can't get even to that talking point if everybody's talking past each other because they don't trust each other.
And I think the environment has become so toxic that those who might be willing to are a little leery of sticking their head up to try to bring the sides together as well.
Because of the certain enforcement, for fear of losing your head. Yes, the certain enforcement mechanisms that exist in Illinois and Springfield politics.
Yeah.
Rob Carr, President and CEO of the Illinois Retail Merchants Association, thank you so much for joining me. It's always a pleasure to speak with you, and let us know how rounding up the Small Business Council works.
Thanks again. It's a pleasure to see you, be in the studio with you, and we'll keep you in the loop.
We'll be back with more right after this.